Hi, this is Linda Weston, and you're listening to the Linda with a Y podcast. Hi, everybody. I hope you had a fantastic Easter bank holiday weekend. This week on Linda with a Y, we have Cillian Thunderman. Oh. I loved interviewing with Cillian so much. Cillian does everything, guys. He does all his videos, of course, which he rose to fame with all his hilarious videos that he put on his Instagram. But he's in a band called The Sleaze. He is an editor, like he's a film editor. He was in the film industry for a little while. He worked over in New York for a little while. And we talk about this in the podcast because it was so funny. He was in this choir in New York called Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir. But they are absolutely brilliant. When you go on YouTube and you listen to them, oh my God, they're so good. But just thinking of Cillian in that choir is just so funny. But honestly, he can do everything and he just made me want to get a hobby. I was like, what do I be doing with my time? This guy is doing everything. Like, what? Honestly, what do I be doing? But it was just a really, really, really good interview. And he's just so nice and just a really good guy. That is what I'd say. He's just a really, really good guy. So I hope you enjoy it. This is my interview with Mr. Cillian Thunderman. Enjoy, guys. Bye. Guys, we have the mastermind behind One Cunt's Guide to the Countryside. It is Mr. Cillian Thunderman.
Hello. That's a great intro. Hi, Annie. Oh, my God. A crowd.
The crowd has gone wild.
I haven't heard a crowd in so long.
I've been looking through your Instagram all day, and your hair used to be long, Cillian.
I'm growing it back.
Oh, do. I think do. It's so much more rocker. Rock chick.
Yeah.
when did you do it? At the beginning of the pandemic, were you like, let's get rid of it all?
It was Anna was cutting my hair because you couldn't go to the hairdresser. Oh, yeah. And then it was like really sunny. Remember this time last year? It was like really, really sunny. Weird. And it was in the afternoon and we were just drinking in the afternoon. And then she was cutting my hair. And I think the combination of drinking and hair cutting was a bad one. I remember her just going, like taking a big sip of like an Aperol spritz and then just going, fuck it, let's just shave it off. And I was like, what? Anyway, she had the razor and she shaved my hair off.
I love it. Yeah, this time last year was so sunny. It was weird.
Yeah, it was.
And you know what? Apparently it's meant to snow next week or something. Well, my boyfriend's mad. He's always like, really? Knows loads about the weather. And he said, next week it's meant to snow. Just to let you know. That's what's meant.
Yeah, there's some people are like that. They're like Ned Aaron heads.
Oh, yeah, like that's him all over. That's him. Yeah. Do you know what it is? He works for the trains, and every time something wrong with, you know, if there's a leaf on the track, it's like, no trains. Yeah. There's no trains for the day. There's a leaf on the track,
don't
guys. Well, it's been a whirlwind couple of years, can you say, for yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Little Cillian, what did he want to be growing up?
I just wanted to be a footballer and a rock star, and neither of those have changed. I still want to be those things.
Yeah. I would never have thought footballer. I didn't think.
A big, I love sports, and I wanted to play football for Ireland, and that was just it. Like, that's all I wanted to do. And I haven't, I mean, I honestly, like, was very late in the game when I was kind of like, this might not happen. And then your goals just kind of change. So you're like, you know, you're young, you're like 8, and you're like, okay, I'm going to play for fucking Manchester United and Ireland or whatever. And then you get old and you're like, okay, well, maybe like Celtic. And then you get a bit old and you're like, all right, maybe Bows. Yeah. And then now I'm like if anyone will take me, I will.
So you were a full-on, you had a team and all, you were like full-on football trainer. I don't know why I'm not picturing this with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm big into sports. I'm a huge sports person. But I don't know, I don't give off that vibe. I used to have to... Like, I played rugby in school and the teachers wouldn't let me out of class to go to the game. They're like, you don't play rugby. And I was like, I do, I swear I do. And they're like, you're just joking, aren't you? You're just making a joke to get out of class or something.
So kind of like, so, your creativity, your creative side, Cillian's creative side came later on in life, did it? Were you always...
No, I always had both things going on, I guess. I mean, music, I was always doing music as well. But I just like the sports... I don't know. I don't know why I love sports and like artists. I always found it kind of similar because, you know, they're both very high emotion kind of things, except in sport, I mean, it's very performative when you're on a football pitch and you're, you know, you see the players and they're diving and they're getting themselves riled up to do things. And it's like, it's like drama, you know, and I think
totally.
That's what sport's about. And when you're watching it on the telly, like, it's the only time you really get to see like men cry, you know, like that's when they're able to do that. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I just loved it. I like, it's a moment where you can kind of get, you can go beyond what you know, the ordinary everyday kind of emotional level. You're allowed to go beyond that. So
yeah, do you know what? That's so true. It's like the only time, which is, it's awful for this, but the only time it's like socially acceptable for a man to cry in front of everyone is when he's watching a football game. Everyone
loves
it.
It's terrible, but it's true, yeah.
Do you know what? My friend, well, I call him my friend. He lived in Baldoyle. I grew up in Baldoyle. And Robbie Brady's from Baldoyle. So we watched him score the goal, right? And all of us were in our pub and every single one of us were screaming, crying. But his brother was on the, you know, his brother was on the TV.
Yeah, they were there together.
Screaming,
yeah.
Crying. And the next day, the newspaper was Robbie Brady and Sobby Brady.
Yeah.
Some genius. What an absolute genius.
Hire that man or woman who wrote that.
Killian, you're genius. So interesting. I've been looking up everyone when I'm coming to interview them.
Yeah.
You're just so interesting. Like, how did New York come about? I feel like you are one of the most interesting people I've ever interviewed, I have to say. I've been looking through stuff all day going, this young fella is mad, right? So New York, what age were you?
I think I was maybe 22 or 23, and I'd lived in Paris before then. I left school and I went to Paris, and then a lot of like the attacks and stuff happened, and it became a kind of like you know, just a place you didn't feel very safe living. And then I just came back to Dublin, and it just, I don't know, everyone kind of, young people I guess get this when they're in Ireland, and you just feel like there's nothing there for you. You just feel like, I just want to leave, or you know, you just kind of get this vibe that the country's not really giving you a chance or something. And I don't know, I had two friends, they were in New York, they said, come on over, you'll enjoy it. And I just went. There was no, I'd never even thought about New York before, but I was just like, I mean, I've heard, it's got like good reviews or whatever. I Googled it.
I'll look it up on Yelp,
It's got 5 stars. So I was like, all right, I'll go. And it took a long time to get into it. I mean, it's honestly like a very difficult place to live for a lot of the time, but then you just get used to it after a while, and that has like the most extreme. So it's like you have the greatest moments of your life, but you also have like maybe the most difficult moments of your life. But I loved it. I mean, the people I met there are, you won't meet them anywhere else in the world. Like, they're really it's a sort of a magnet that draws eccentric, kind of interesting, artistic, open, kind of people. So it's really a great place for me.
Was the dream, because you're after coming from film school in DIT,
I
know, because I know everything about your life now. As we ending, I know it.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to go from DIT. Was your dream to go over there, like New York and film? Like, there's always a New Yorker that wants to be a filmmaker. Was that the dream, kind of?
Not really. I still don't know what I want to do with my life, but I definitely at that time, like, I didn't like the film industry from what I'd experienced, because it's a very like hierarchical thing where you start out and you're just this person running around getting coffee for everyone, like, and you kind of have to shake a lot of hands and know certain types of
and
people.
Liquor, and
I was just, I mean, I guess I don't really look that badly on that kind of thing now, but back then I just was very, I just didn't like that. I was just like, that's bullshit. I don't want to get involved with that.
Yeah.
So I was always more drawn to radio. I always wanted to get into radio. But I just went over there and you kind of did a lot of different things. Like many, many different jobs. So
I know. Oh, so you worked in the film, in the TV industry over there, did you?
No, I did some video work, and then I ended up working as a video editor in New York, but I didn't work in TV and film. I was doing some stuff in Ireland when I was young. You know, when you finish college and you're like, okay, now I start my career. And, you know, I kind of did some jobs on some short films and things like that. And it was just like, you know, feel like you're getting treated like shit. And you're like, what's the fucking point? Like, and then you talk to people who are like doing it for 5 years and they're like still in the same position as you. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. So New York, you were doing just video editing, like just of what? Like just of normal videos?
No, I kind of, the job that I had was kind of interesting. It's kind of, I guess, a new sort of job.
Ooh,
it's like, you know, celebrities have like huge Instagram followings, and they kind of need people to curate their pages and maybe make content for their pages. So I got a job with a company who were who had like loads of different kind of clients or whatever, and they kind of were like activist, social justice driven people who had that kind of brand. And then I'd make kind of videos for them that were about movements and that sort of stuff, or I'd get them to send me a video talking about a certain thing that was happening, and then I'd kind of cut them together and put them online.
That's
and then
brilliant.
I just did other kind of freelance work for just people's websites and nothing like incredibly fancy, but
which are kind of
they got better and better.
You're after cutting something open there though, because we're like, now we're like, celebrities don't make all their own content on their Instagrams. Excuse me, what? I can't believe this. Well, look, I cannot talk about New York without talking about Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir. Do you remember any of the songs?
God, oh my God, because I do think about that, because they do their practices on Zoom now, but they're too late for me to log on because of the time difference. But I was thinking, like, maybe I could stay up once and go on.
Just
go
on YouTube.
I honestly, I don't think I remember any of the fucking
right
songs.
Here's one. Do you not remember? We are the 99%.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. But that one, I wasn't around for that. That was back in. But yeah, that's a great song.
What a song. Like that girl. And then she goes, check Mike.
Yeah. You listen to it. That's
you're
great.
Like, ah!
Mike, check.
Yeah, Mike, check. That's what it is. Explain to the people,
that
actually.
That was born in Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street. That's what happened. They sort of started then. It's like a radical performance community in New York. And they basically were all at Occupy Wall Street, which is when a lot of people during the crash decided to just go down to Wall Street, where, you know, people had just ruined the entire economy and then they were being bailed out by the government.
Yeah.
And we were just giving them, you know, an off, which we all did, you know, it happened. But they were like, this is wrong, these guys should be going to jail or whatever. And they were occupying it. And then the same people just kept seeing each other. And then this character, Reverend Billy, was there. And they just started gathering together and singing. And then it just slowly developed over the years until it became this great choir that is now, you know, they're very well known in America. They're popular in Ireland too. They come here twice, usually, or once every 2 years.
Well, so I'll be there.
They're known here as well.
I will be there, Gillian. Yeah. It's all because of my interview you today. I just keep on going to all the kids. I'm like, mic check. Oh, mic check. I want to be that girl though. I don't think I'd be good in a choir, because I want to be the girl with the mic. You know, mic check. Oh, mic.
Jessica Wiskovitz. She's a Bronx girl. She's the one who sings the mic check bit. Great singer. Amazing
oh my
singer.
God. I just like one of them songs right here, like hairs are growing up here. Like, oh my God, I love it so much. But here's the band then. So you obviously have a voice. The Sleaze is there. We all know about
I guess
Sleaze.
So, yeah. I'm a choir boy.
You're a choir boy. You obviously have a voice. So are you the singer? Are you, what are you in your band?
Yeah.
You're the singer.
Yeah. I'm the lead singer, rhythm guitarist.
God.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I do. Yeah. We are kind of transitioning because my brother is the bassist, but he's left the country. We have this thing with bassists. They just
keep on leaving us.
Leave. Yeah. So so we're thinking of maybe I used to play the bass, so I might go, we might try become a trio. We haven't decided yet. So this is a Sleaze exclusive.
Oh my God, guys. Oh my God. But you know what I think as well, right? You know, some comedians wouldn't get away with being in a band. Like if Kevin Bridges said, next week, like, I'm going to be in a band. You take everything sarcastically about him.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's not real. But I was looking at all your stuff today. I'm like, no. Like, Killian has the vibe. He can do it all.
Really?
Like, I think so. You can be funny. And, when I was looking at you in all the photos today, I was like, no, like, I totally get it, man. He's that dude in that band. But yes, do you know what I mean with comedy? It can kind of ruin your seriousness sometimes. And did you ever think about that?
Yeah. I guess you're right. You hit on something in that. Like, I'd say it's hard for someone. I mean, to be sincere, you know, music making is quite a sincere thing a lot of the time. Obviously, it doesn't have to be. And I think in Ireland in general, it's kind of hard being sincere because people just love ripping the piss out of each other.
Yeah, they're like, shut
the fuck. That's a culture. Yeah. It's like whenever anyone's kind of like singing a love song or whatever, we are always a bit like, oh, come on. But no, I guess I've always done music, so I guess I've never really, I never really thought, like, it was always music before making comedy anyway, so I guess, it was never something I thought about, but I mean, I guess now I wonder if people seeing me sing a song, getting real angry at a rock song or something
I'm
like that, they'll be like, what's going on?
No, I'm telling you now, you can do it all. That's what I'm telling you. Thanks. All day I've been looking at you, Killian. Weirdly, I'm like your little freaky fan. Like, I love him.
It's great to hear.
So come here.
No, I tell jokes in between the songs as well when we're playing live. I that was something that I always did, because I remember like Dill on the drums would just like when I was talking too long in between the songs, he'd just do the drum roll.
Hey, shut the song. Fuck up. Yeah.
That's the like shut the fuck up. It's like a sort of drum roll. It's like, mom, man.
I love
let's get rocking.
So, you know, do you think you'll know, well, this is probably a hard question, but you'd always pick the band before the comedy, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah, it's like it's something I've done for a while with my friends or whatever. But like, no, the comedy's great, but it's very new. So, I mean, I don't know what direction or what form it's taken.
Yeah.
But yeah, like band forever. Also, they like the band would break up if I answered that wrong. So,
so
legally, I have to say band.
The amazing video that is Some Cunt's Guide. We all know and love now. So you were down the country. I know. I always say down the country. You could have been up in the country as well. I don't know where you were. You were somewhere along the countryside.
Yeah. I was across in the country.
And did you know you were going to do Some Cunt's Guide, or did you have that planned, or was this just a winging it thing that came to your head?
Yeah, no, it's very much I was just out in the countryside, and I was doing a lot of those two-person sketches where it's like you're talking to yourself kind of thing, and I'd done loads of those in the run-up to Christmas, and I was kind of like just wanted to try to do something different that was just a little maybe even easier to film, that was just me. And then I just was like, I don't know, I guess I was bored one day, and I just I thought the idea of a dub in the countryside just like getting things wrong was just funny. Like just kind of going like, I was just kind of like, I thought it'd be really funny if I was just walking around the countryside asking people like, do you know where the Starbucks is? I just thought that would be really funny. Just like, where's the Starbucks around here? But you obviously can't talk to people. So I was just like, I'll just do other stuff. And yeah, I guess Some Cunt's Guide to the Countryside, it rolls off the tongue.
It
kind of
rolls
funny.
Off. And you know what's so bad, right? Because some people hate that C-U-N-T word, but for some reason,
yeah, I know, yeah.
It makes it okay to say it. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's so playful. It's like Some Cunt's Guide to the Countryside. Like, I'd never say the C-U-N-T word.
I know, yeah. I never say that word either, but it's I even blank it out when I'm putting it in. I write some, but I say it, but it's just because it's in countryside. The word countryside has it in it. So I think that's why it seems okay. But,
it totally does.
Not a good word. Don't say kids.
You spoke about the popcorn walls might be in weapons of mass destruction. I want Some Cunt's Guide to the Seaside coming out soon. And I want you to do them pebblestone beaches. No one's having fun on them. No one. You see someone on there and you're like, what the fuck are you doing? You'd need a metal toe shoe to have any fun in that place when you get off it.
I know, yeah. I love watching people like when they're walking to the beach to get in, and they're like walking barefoot, and they're sort of running on the sandy bit, and then they just go real slow and they're hopping along.
Like, that's exactly what it is. You'd never be able to have Baywatch in Ireland anyway. It'll be a big definitely. So yeah, the video. So you and Darren Conway and Joseph McGuigan, as we know, the funny. Yeah. I loved the outtakes. I did love the videos, but the outtakes I just felt so funny because I was like, these lads are just having such a buzz. Like, what was the day like?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, Joe so sort of set it up. Who's brilliant. He's so funny, and it was his kind of idea. And then Jerry Walsh directed it. Who's just an incredible. He's just like one man who does it all. It's amazing.
One man show.
Yeah, he does like all the, and then I don't know, I'd never sort of worked with like sort of sketch, a group of sketch comedians before. But it was interesting because I was kind of nervous going to, these guys are big, like they're big guys. But it was just very like, it was a jokey atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then the jokes played into the sketch. So it was like, there was no real script or anything like that. Which is kind of like improvising, and then people laugh at it, and then there's just a really good, I mean, it was honestly one of the best days I've had all year. It was so fun. It was really, really funny.
I was going to ask you if you were nervous, and then I was like, no, maybe he's like a normal person and doesn't get nervous. I won't ask that question, but now you are. So anything, I think when you build something up in your head, I think even before any interview, like I'm always grand all day, And then like 4 minutes before, I'm like, breathe, Linda, breathe, breathe, breathe. But then when I started, you're grand. Is that the same with anything you do as well? Even before you put them up on Instagram or anything, is it like, oh, bollocks, I have to put this up now?
No, I'm okay with putting things up now, I think. Like, I guess I think I definitely used to be a bit more apprehensive of things. But then honestly, sometimes you'll go maybe a week or two without putting something up. And then you put it up again, and you're kind of like,
oh, yeah.
You're like, there's like a good 20 minutes when you're like, oh. But you just, I don't know, you get kind of used to it. But with that, I was just, I mean, I think it was nerves because, you know, I was seeing other people as well. Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've just gotten like really bad at talking to people in social situations.
Yeah, you know? I'm a freak now.
I've just gotten real shit at it. Yeah. So it was also that playing into it. Any social situation in this new COVID world is just kind of difficult.
Oh my God, I am a freak now. And I have this problem where I keep on going red. And I'm like, why is this happening to me? And it's so horrible, right? Because you're talking to a person, and you're like, stop it, stop it, stop your face, stop it. And I'd walk off and see, like, my boyfriend, he's like, Linda, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. It's COVID. COVID done it to me. So I had him.
It happens.
I had Shane Daniel Byrne. I don't know whether he likes to be called Shane Daniel or he just likes to be called Shane
Daniel Byrne.
Shane Dan Byrne, I had him on, and he said, you are one of the nicest guys, and he sang your praises throughout the whole time. But I have to say, the Chewies are so interesting, like I was saying to you the whole time. Like, Shane was saying, like, he's done theatre in his mother's house when he was 18 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, same with you, there's just so many different layers, man. And that's
Shane
the way I
is like, Shane is like a proper, like, actor. Like, he's like, very talented. Like, doing that sketch with him, he was so amazing in that he was, like, doing things that I'd never thought about. He'd be like, the character would be kind of like, I'll say that line with you know, like, with like a bit of sadness and annoyance. And I was like, oh my God, channeling emotion. Like, this guy, he's like an actual, like, he's very, very talented. Like, actor. It's really cool to see the process, you know, the process.
That's what I was kind of shocked when I was talking to you, because, you know, when you're thinking of a comedian, sometimes I think, does it just fall out of the air? But obviously it doesn't. Everything's art. Even if it's comedy, it's still art. You're an artist, Killian. You're an artist.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And interviews are art, actually. You're an artist, too. We're all artists.
Right, so where do you see, after this crazy COVID world pisses off, where do you see the direction going first for you in your career now? Or in life?
I guess, like, just I kind of keep plugging away with the videos. I might, like, try do, like, some live stuff. I'd love to get some live stuff going because I just try it out. I guess, like, I'm excited to stand in front of people and see if it'll work. But a thing I'm nervous about, but I'm also, like, kind of excited to try it. And so that's, like, kind of the direction I think I'd go, try to do some live stuff. And, like, you know, hopefully it'll be okay.
Definitely. I can see you doing acting, though. I can see this, but my whole gym.
Maybe, yeah.
I can totally see, like, I think you're our Ireland's answer to Leo. Not Leo Varadkar. Leo. The other Leo. Like, what's the second name?
From the Titanic. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Because you're an activist. You're going to be like, fucking get rid of your plastic and all, guys.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Hey, I don't know, but, like, acting is... I did, like, a play in school once, and I was, like... and that was, like, all that I did. But I don't know, acting is, like, it's a whole different art. But, yeah, I'd definitely give it a go. I'd definitely try it out. Maybe go on a short film or something like that.
Oh, my God, 100%.
It will have me.
Oh, definitely, 100%. So, like, your activism, I was watching... I watched Seaspiracy last night. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God, watch it tonight. Watch it tonight.
I've heard good things about it, but it's bad. It's saying bad things, but it's good.
Yeah,
it's
very well done. It's very well done. I was actually listening to your podcast today, and you were talking about that basketball documentary that kept on going back and forth in the timeline.
What the fuck
was that? Oh, my God. So ever since then, I'm like, when I'm watching documentaries, I'm like, if this thing is going to fuck up my head, I'm not fucking watching. Like, just give me a direct timeline. But no, it's very, very, very good. And it's just so sad. Like, it's so sad to hear, I kind of have to live life. Unless if you let it overconsume you, like, if you thought about it all the time, you'd be fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, you would, yeah. You can't take it all on. It's not possible because what's happening is so, so, so bad. And I think that, like, COVID is kind of interesting because we kind of are taking it all on and we are dealing with, like, it's this horrible thing that's happening to the world. And we are all kind of mentally taking it on, and you can see how much it's affecting everyone. Like, everyone's going through something. I don't know anyone who's just been like, it's just been grand.
Yeah, this
you
is
know?
Fine.
I haven't met it. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's like feeling something. And I feel like, you know, what's happening with COVID, like something similar is happening with the natural world right now. And like, if we, you know, actually tried to take on what's actually happening, we'd all be, you know, very, very depressed. But maybe, you know, maybe that's what we should do. I don't know. But exactly. We should at least be doing something.
Do something. Like, fuck plastic is what you're going to say after the conspiracy. Like, why did we ever start with it?
Yeah.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah. No, it's very frustrating. I'm like, watch it, but your God, your head's going to be wrecked. It's like I watched Dave Attenborough, that Dave Attenborough one. And just for weeks after, I was like looking at my kids. It's like, I want to make life better for you, man. But then you forget it, don't you? That's what the shit thing is. Yeah. But are you a person that actually doesn't forget it? You're like, it's always in your mind, is it?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's weird because I definitely like when I have a younger brother who's 18 or 19.
What a damn. Does it even matter? Yeah.
But he's like, you know, very much like very activated right now. And he's very like, the world is, you know, so fucked and stuff like that, which it is. And I totally agree with him, but I could see like an energy or like a rage in him that I know I used to have. And I don't know if I feel it in the same way, but I definitely like agree with all the things, and I definitely like feel very bad about them. But in somehow, I don't know what it is. You go through waves of just being very, very sad about something, and then not as sad about something. But I don't know. I mean, I think maybe it's just because I'm like putting on the blinkers right now.
But just
when,
as you said,
I get a bit of time to do something, I'll get out there and do stuff again.
Yeah, that's what when the place opens back up, go out and be the activist, the new Leo, not for Adker, the other guy. We're going to keep this.
Train myself outside the doll.
Are you still vegan?
Well, I'm the worst vegan in the world, but I actually have managed to keep going now. I started January the 1st and I'm still going strong.
Well,
so I'm pretty happy with myself. But I'm not like, I've decided the best thing I can do is not call myself a vegan until I've done maybe a year of it.
Yeah.
Then I'll be like, all right, now I'm going to like come out as a vegan or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I'm coming out, guys.
I just, it'd be too much pressure, you know. People on like, all the people on Instagram will be saying it. I don't want that to be a whole thing. Like, I don't want to have that, like, you know.
Yeah. You don't want it in your bio, vegan. Not yet.
Yeah, I used to have it in there as a joke, but then I actually started doing it. And now it's like, all right, I'm just going to get rid of it.
I don't veganuary, so I don't 28 days of it, right? Because on the 28th day, I was doing I was doing dry January and veganuary all together. I just think it was too much. Yeah. It was just too much for me.
Yeah, me too.
So day 28 came and I got locked and started eating loads of ham from the fridge. My boyfriend was like, what are you like? I was like, I don't care. Then the next day I was like, see, my brother is like a really big activist and vegan.
He's
really into it. Like, so I had to ring him and I was like, I ate ham. But I have to say, I'll never eat meat the same again. It's other stuff for me. It's cheese. But meat, like I can say, I can see myself going off meat for forever.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, no, I've been a vegetarian now for about 6-7 years or something that. Yeah. And I wouldn't eat, like, meat would just be, it's gone from my kind of like list of things that I think are actually food. Like, I wouldn't even think about it. But what's changed now, though, is with all the vegans coming out in the last year or so, there's like all these new fucking products that are basically like, they taste like meat. And they're in the shops and I'm kind of eating them now. And I'm like, oh, this is like meat. Like it tastes like meat, but it's all these. Have you tried those Denny sausages and those?
I tried them.
Like, they're insane. They just taste like fucking sausages.
Did you taste the corn chicken wings?
I haven't had those yet. No.
Well, like they're not corn. Chicken, but they are fucking chicken wings. Are they really not? Like, oh my God, the Burger King. See, I say you're more of a healthy eater. I'm saying all the fat stuff. I'm like, did you try the Burger King?
Yeah, I started eating a lot more of that now because it's all around. So I don't know. You know, I'm kind of getting into it again. So who knows?
I think the one thing veganism gave, like, there was a great 28 days. It changed my mindset, whatever. And I watched all the documentaries now.
Yeah.
But Alpro milk and all that stuff, like, I'll never go back to normal milk ever again. Like, never. So
what
I was saying to my brother was, like, little steps, it can do a big thing as well. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's what it's all about. Like, the... Like, there's no one saying, like, I don't think, like, people shouldn't eat meat or whatever. But, like, you know, I just think, like, there's an unhealthy consumption of it. And it's clearly affecting you know, the environment quite badly. Like, if people just had fucking, like, I mean, you talk to any of your parents, like, they had meat once a week when they were younger. They might have had it on a Sunday or something. Like, it's an expensive thing. Now you're having it in your fucking chicken roll, and you're having it in your lunch, and then you're having it for your dinner. It's like, that's not right, you know? Yeah. It's just not. I would say those to go. Just
did you know?
Maybe have it once a day or something.
Yeah. Did you know that cows fart and it takes have put a big hole in the air? Did you know that? Did you know that? Yeah. I can't fucking believe that.
Yeah. Methane. Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge. 32% of Irish carbon emissions are from methane. It's like, it's the biggest thing.
It's the biggest thing. It's a cow fart.
Could they not just stop giving them beans?
My brother told me that, and I was like, that's not true. There's no fucking way that's true. Then I looked it up, and I was like, oh my God. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. That's mad.
They're bastards. Yeah.
Them damn cows. Right. So, why do you love doing all the creative stuff? So you have your band, you have the podcast, you have all the videos. Why do you think you've gone more to creativity than anything else? What is your why, Mr. Killian?
I guess I think I kind of was talking about it earlier with the, it's the same with sports, like that it's kind of an arena where you're able to, you know, be, you know, very dramatic or you can try out ideas. I think it's like different things, like with music, you can kind of look into yourself and kind of discuss yourself or feelings you might have and, you know, explore who you are. With comedy, I feel like it's you can kind of poke fun at authority or critique society in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like you can kind of look at certain things and go like, why is that? Or, you know, point at a certain thing that people do and go, that's kind of funny the way we do that. Or even like the government are doing something fucking stupid, you can go look at how stupid the government are being. So I don't know. It's like, it's a tool. I think art's a tool. But like a lot of it is just like, it gives you something to do. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of like just playing, but as an adult. So, I mean, I just love playing, I guess.
Do you ever have them moments where you're like, well, you're only a baby, Killian. You're only 27. Are you 27?
I am. Yeah. I've been outed as 27.
You're only a baba. I'm 33. Think about how I feel.
Really?
I'm 33. Thanks a million. I think boys with beards, you're kind of like, what age are they? You never know what age.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. That's I get it. People ask me how old I am on like TikTok. All the Americans, there's like Americans who follow me on TikTok and they're all just asking me mental things. But they're like, they're constantly asking like, how old are you? Dude, how old are you? I think I could probably say 40, and they'd be like, okay, cool.
It's like, only the beard.
Like, I thought that.
If you got rid of the beard and all the hair, I'd say you'd look about 4.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's always that case. It's like you have the beard and everything and then you shave it off and then... And then you look like 5 years old. I'm hiding half my face. Like, I don't want people to see that half of my face.
I can't wait for the long hair to come back, killer.
Yeah, it's almost there now. Like it's taken fucking ages to grow, but it's like it's coming into my eyes.
It was so. Such a mop. I can't believe that you had shaved it
off.
For
years. Yeah.
This has been one of the best interviews I've ever done in my life. Killian, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy.
Thank you, Linda.
The religious weekend that's in it. Bye.
No drinking tomorrow.
Yes, bye. Of course. I'll find out. Bye.